This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Dr. Masima, good morning. Yo, good evening. Thanks for your time.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Very well, and you?
I'm good, thank you.
So when we speak about, World Health Day and this particular theme that we had yesterday, the 7th of April, Healthy Beginnings, Hopeful Futures, what was that theme about and what was the plan really for this particular theme and for this year's World Health Day?
So the theme is directly from the WHO, the World Health Organization. And they really are focusing on that particular theme specifically because globally there's 2.4 million children that die before the age of 1 month globally. And it really is a big impact on our future generations and society in general. And I think that us being in South Africa, being a low to middle income country, we really are affected by these statistics because we do have socioeconomic barriers, and a lot of the children that we actually do see in our government hospitals and clinics can present with things like malnutrition, infections, and that actually ends up leading to untimely deaths.
And of course, like you say, that, you know, we've got these untimely deaths that happen. I mean, imagine a child passing away even before they turn 1 month old. From what you have seen, some of the, you know, the research that you may have also done, what are the causes of that specifically?
So the causes vary, but to be honest, you know, I'm a medical doctor in the government space at the moment, mm-hmm. and I have seen the huge disparity between the public sector and the private sector. With the public sector servicing about 84% of our population in South Africa, we are dealing with a huge number of patients daily. And the biggest factors I've seen are just really malnutrition. A lot of children come in with nutritional deficiencies, and when a child isn't able to get the sustenance that they need, they are more prone to getting infectious, as well as any issues that they might have in terms of their development delays. And that actually leads to them coming to us in very dire states, and they end up dying quite easily, to be honest. So those are the biggest factors that I think that, you know, we really need to be focusing on right now.
I'm seeing here that there's also these current trends of a staggering 4 out of 5 countries are off track to meet targets for improving maternal survival by 2030. And when we speak about maternal survival, we're also seeing that around 300,000 women lose their life due to pregnancy or childbirth each year. What are the causes then for women to die due to pregnancy or because of childbirth, and so many a year?
Yes. So there are a variety of factors, but when we talk about medical conditions that end up causing these ladies to lose their lives, it typically ranges from diabetes. We call it gestational diabetes, and another condition called preeclampsia, in addition to hypertension. And a lot of the time, women can show up to the clinic or to the hospital undiagnosed, and they don't know that they have these conditions until we actually screen them. And this also really proves how powerful antenatal care is. You know, when women come in and they're pregnant and we do their first screening, we are able to check their vitals and actually pick up on anything that could be a problem down the line. If these conditions are not treated in time, it can really end up causing severe complications, not only for the mother, but also for the baby.
We do also hear of stories, Dr. Masima, where mothers say, I didn't know I was pregnant, you know, until, I mean, I had a friend who was actually pregnant. Mm-hmm. She only found out at 5 months that she was pregnant. So that in itself is also a concern, isn't it? Where women say, I genuinely did not know. I still went on my period. Things seemed normal. You know, there was no baby bump or no belly bump, so to speak, but there was concerns maybe here and there. How much of that do we hear, and how much of that can also cause the problems that you speak about for women and their child and their unborn child?
So it's very interesting that you do bring this up. It does occur. However, I have to say in practice, I haven't seen it very often. And a lot of the times the women that do present in this sort of way, either don't really present with very regular periods. And so when they skip a period, they don't necessarily think that there's something wrong or let me go get a pregnancy test. And a lot of the times there are some women that come in pregnant, even though they've been on contraceptives. There's women that have reported getting pregnant, even on the IUD.
Mm.
And I think that it just really proves that a woman's body is really quite miraculous. There's a lot that's going on that we still, even as doctors, are still trying to figure out. But yes, as I've said, those numbers are very low. I think even in my own practice so far, I think I've maybe come across two patients like that. It's not super common.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like you say, the prenatal visits are very important. And some people may say, ugh, why must I go wait in a whole queue at a clinic for so long for these visits just to be checked for like 5 to 10 minutes and to check if this child is healthy or not when, you know, they don't feel anything, they feel okay.
Yes. But, you know, I think that in South Africa, we've worked really, really hard to push for proper antenatal care, not only just antenatal, but even postnatal, because I think that it's very important that we really push the message of ensuring that women get the support that they need during the from the moment of conception until the baby has been born, because it's a very tumultuous time and journey for anyone to go through. And I think that we're now realizing that the changes that a woman's body goes through during pregnancy can be very dire on both the mom as well as the baby if it's not done accurately. It's important to really focus on the nutritional support of the mom during the time, as well as getting the necessary vaccinations that are needed, because a lot of the times when women aren't able or don't actually get the education about vaccinations, it ends up affecting the child when a child can still present with something like polio or even measles, which are, you know, conditions that really should be eradicated in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. You know, we speak, of course, about World Health Day 2025 and the theme around, you know, looking after mothers and babies. But what have been the other themes, and have those goals actually been reached with the other World Health Day themes in the past years?
So I'm actually not too sure what the other World Health Day themes have been. But I would say that in general, when we do focus on the world health statistics that we look at globally, we really are trying to, you know, use these particular days, and not only just obviously World Health Day, coming up is also African Vaccination Week. We are really trying to hone in on the messaging behind it and use platforms such as radio, television, and even social media so that people are aware that these days exist. Because if we don't have people speaking up about it, if we don't have not only just medical practitioners, but also just community health workers going out into the communities to educate people on the ground level, I don't think that the information gets disseminated that well. And I think that also me being, you know, quite in working in the community, I'm a family medicine medical doctor. And so I really work with people directly in the underserviced communities in South Africa. I really do see that there is a big gap in education in the South African context. There's a lot of people that aren't aware of certain conditions and what can predispose someone to getting a certain condition. And so these days are very important for us to highlight, and I do think it is making an impact.
I'm glad you speak about it making an impact, because, you know, there may also be those questions to say, but we have these days and some communities don't even know what happens on days like these. So for World Health Day, what were some of the things that were done that you know of or that you yourself may have done, you know, just to spread the word about the goals for this particular campaign?
Yes, so I currently work in an antenatal clinic, and we were actually having a workshop yesterday at our facility where we were actually taking the new found mothers through a series of potential events that they might experience. So what to expect in the first trimester, second trimester, and the third trimester, in addition to the necessary nutrition that they need to be taking in, because the moment you find out that you're pregnant, you do need to start taking supplements such as folic acid and iron tablets. and going for all your STI screening as well as HIV testing. We have been quite rigorous with our testing because we are trying to eliminate vertical transmission of HIV, for example. And that is actually one of our big goals in South Africa. And I think we've been doing quite a good job about it. So yes, I think that it starts small, and even though I'm one doctor, there's quite a lot of us that are trying to make an impact in our own small way.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. The one doctor making the impact in the small way, it definitely goes a long way for the country. But because you also work in a government hospital, how can the healthcare system there, in government hospitals specifically, evolve to better support maternal and newborn health?
So I think that it's quite multifactorial. I think that as healthcare professionals, we do play quite a central role in improving the maternal health. We obviously offer the clinical care, but I think that it's also very important that we become advocates of health. And I think this is something that I'm really passionate about. Offering mothers emotional support, because it can be a very isolating experience being pregnant. And some women are obviously finding out for the first time, or they didn't actually plan for the pregnancy and don't have the financial means for the pregnancy as well. And so being a healthcare professional and being the first point of contact for these pregnant women, I really do take it as a big responsibility to build trust and to provide accurate information for them, and to also identify any potential questions they might have, because a lot of the times, obviously, we know in government facilities, a lot of people tend to feel quite dismissed. I've heard this many, many times from patients. Mm. And that's just simply because of the volume of people that we're dealing with. And obviously, it can be a lot for nurses and doctors. But I think that it's important to remember why we started the job in the first place. In terms of the infrastructure that is available, I have to say we don't have a lot. We're not working with a lot of resources. And a lot of the time, our mothers really do have to wait quite a long time to get something like an ultrasound done for the baby or get certain tests done. But I do think that with our goals, we really have been trying our best with prioritizing pregnant women and our babies.
And I think that's very important that they are indeed prioritized. And like you say, you know, you're making do, I suppose, Dr. Masima, with yes. what you have at the moment. But like you say, there are those, huge differences that can be seen between the private sector or the private hospitals and the government hospitals.
Yes.
Do you think, and I'm going to bring up the NHI thing, do you think that NHI could possibly assist to level that gap?
I think that when you ask any doctor about the NHI, a lot of us actually would love for something like that to be incorporated. I think that a lot of us have worked through very difficult circumstances, resource constraints, and also not having enough work, just the workforce is not there. And so if the NHI was implemented the way it's written on paper, it would be great for all healthcare professionals. In fact, we'd be very happy. However, I think that, to be honest, we do already have a level of the NHI implemented. We do have free public healthcare at the moment. And I think what is discouraging is the fact that the current system that's already in place doesn't function the way it's meant to. And so it would be, I'm hopeful, and I'm hoping that it can be implemented correctly, but at the same time, we are looking at what the current infrastructures look like and the current policies look like. And it makes it very difficult to practice medicine as a doctor in South Africa. There's a lot of bureaucracy. And, you know, we studied to be doctors, you know, not to solve everything else. But we are trying our best, to be honest.
Mm. And it's so sad when you put it like that, you know, that you studied to be doctors and not to solve everything else. And if only you could just be allowed to do your job.
Yes.
It would make life so much more easier. But Dr. Masima, you know, going back then to World Health Day, this had taken place, of course, yesterday. But does it end there?
No, it doesn't. I think that this is just the beginning of the conversation. I think that the topic being the focus on young children was very important, because the first 1,000 days of a child are the most important and pivotal years of of a child, and it really can impact the education, the formative years, and what we bring out back into our society, because at the end of the day, our young children are the future of what's going to carry on in South Africa. So yes, the conversation definitely does not end here.
For pregnant women, what would you like for them to know about, or what they must also look out for? So what must they know about themselves being pregnant, but also what they must look out for during their pregnancies? And of course, pregnancy, is not the same for each woman though.
Yes, it's really not. I would say that for pregnant women, it would be very important for them to start tracking how they feel and their symptoms throughout the different trimesters. So what's important about that is that sometimes when you are going to see a doctor or a nurse, they might not be able to pick up certain subtle symptoms that you may have. But we might have something like extreme morning sickness as well as nausea, which can be life-threatening, actually. It's called a condition called hyperemesis gravidarum. And there's also things such as mental health changes that occur during your pregnancy. And in fact, postpartum depression is something that's only being studied now, and the effect that it has on women. The statistics are very scary. It is almost 25% of the South African population of women that are postpartum may experience postpartum depression. And the fact that we don't necessarily have the resources or even the support structure to support these women is very scary for me, because we see on the news very tragic stories where a mother has hurt herself or hurt her child. Mm. And a lot of the times we don't actually find the root cause of that. And you could find that it was actually a mental disorder that caused that. Sure. So I think that it's very important that women are able to observe themselves, notice when they don't feel like themselves, and actually try to seek help.
And as you speak about seeking that help and, the postpartum depression, I then wonder about the support. How much support is needed during pregnancy and after pregnancy?
I would say a lot. So, of course, everybody comes from different backgrounds, whether your family is there or your mother is there or your partner is there. It varies across the board. But if any woman really is struggling throughout their journey, we do have structures in place in the states that assist for that. We can send the patient to see a social worker or even a psychologist. The waiting times may be a bit longer than in private, but the services are still there. And I think that any patient that is experiencing very urgent or emergency care type of presentation, we escalate, and that patient is then admitted into hospital and actually observed for 24 hours before they are able to go home. And I think those measures are very important, because a lot of people do think that they're fine and that they're coping, but you are growing a new life in you, and a lot of the times hormones really do fluctuate and can affect us enormously.
So individuals then, or as communities, what's the best way do you think that we can continue the plans, the goals for World Health Day 2025?
I would say as communities, it's firstly to educate ourselves and also educate one another. I think we've got so much at our disposal in terms of information right now. You really can search for anything and find out about it. But I really am a big fan of community health-based programs, because a lot of the times workshops right in, for example, I'm just going to use Soweto as an example, workshops right in Soweto from the community makes way more sense than somebody watching television and hearing a doctor speak, because there's just that dissonance that they won't understand. I really do believe that healthcare workers teaching themselves to be immersed in their community, speaking people's languages, is very important, because there can be a loss of translation when somebody is speaking in English. A lot of it is really just a cultural difference. It's very important that we remember that at the end of the day, our children are the future, and this World Health Day just reminds us that it's important to prioritize what we want in the future.
Well, Dr. Masima, thank you so much for your time. Truly appreciate it, and all the best with the work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Muradwa Masima is medical doctor and ProfMed Ambassador, speaking to us about World Health Day 2025. The theme for this year, Healthy Beginnings, Hopeful Futures, and it draws the attention to the importance of maternal and newborn health.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.